The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 6, verses 35 to 51. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You know, this gospel lesson reminded me of when I was in seminary, and we'd sing a beautiful Advent hymn titled, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. And we've used it here at Christ the Vine. But at seminary, we'd sing this during chapel, and when all the seminarians were there and the whole community were there, belting it out, it was gorgeous. And it quickly became a favorite hymn of mine. So when I got out of seminary, I was eager to introduce it to the congregation I was serving in Selah, Washington. But it just wasn't the same there at Peace Lutheran Church. It didn't go over well at all. Nobody liked it. And I was stunned. It turns out that a lot of people didn't like it for the very same reason I absolutely loved that song. Here's the reason. The lyrics describe Jesus returning on the clouds on the last day, just as described in Matthew 24. And the second verse of the song goes like this. Every eye shall now behold him robed in glorious majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to a tree, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, shall their true Messiah see. A very nice lady named Jean Sinclair at Peace Lutheran Church finally took me aside and explained to me why so many people didn't love this song like I did. It's depressing, she said. It's kind of a downer. Deeply wailing, deeply wailing? You gotta be kidding me. That's depressing. You know, one of the reasons I love that song is because it expresses emotions which, in our culture, we'd label as negative, like sadness, or regret, or even shame. But that's exactly why I love that song, because I feel those emotions sometimes. The song speaks for me. I can identify with it. You know, in our Old Testament lesson today, the protagonist, Elijah, the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, is feeling some pretty negative emotions and feeling them strongly. Here's the story. After the death of King Solomon in 931 BC, the Jewish nation had split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. This was an era of really lousy kings. But the worst of all was Ahab, crowned king of Israel 95 years after Solomon died. Ahab, influenced by his Canaanite wife, Queen Jezebel, established the worship of the Canaanite gods Baal and Asherah as the official religion of the northern kingdom of Israel. God's primary concern when the Israelites had entered the promised land more than 500 years earlier was that they not adopt the religion of the Canaanites. But here, 5 centuries later, under Ahab, they did. And the man God sent to correct the problem was Elijah, who faced off against the prophets of Baal and Asherah in a dramatic showdown described in 1 Kings 18. And the result was victory for Elijah and the slaughter of 850 prophets of the Canaanite gods. Well, when Queen Jezebel, heard that news, she was incensed, enraged, and wild with fury. And Elijah ran for his life, hiding in the desert, exhausted, depressed, and begging that God would end his life. He was what we would call suicidal. But who wouldn't be depressed? After all he'd done, it seemed that God had abandoned him. He was afraid and maybe filled with shame. Elijah felt like we have felt at times. Negative emotions are common to all of us. Elijah's not the only one who's been afraid or who's felt abandoned. He's not the only one who's been filled with shame. He's not the only one who's been depressed to the point of wanting to die. And that's why our gospel lesson today is so valuable. In John 6, Jesus is addressing a large crowd on the shore of the Sea of Galilee near the town of Capernaum. And in verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." What does that mean? Well, it's a metaphor. And it means that just as bread and water sustain life, Jesus sustains life. In fact, Jesus sustains our lives now and forever. You know, just this past week, some of us here met with a representative from the Oregon Food Bank organization, and she used a term I'd never heard before: food insecurity. I'm fortunate. I've never experienced food insecurity. I've always had plenty of food. In fact, I see eating as a recreation. I never worry about death from starvation. Those people on the beach with Jesus, though, were different. They saw food as a scarce necessity required to sustain life. So when Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me will not hunger or thirst," those people understood immediately that Jesus was offering them life, the opposite of death. And it's not that Jesus will give you bread made of wheat. It's that Jesus is the bread of life. In other words, Jesus gives you himself sacrificed on a cross. And Jesus gives you himself despite your ongoing sin, despite your self-centeredness, despite your repeated failures. Which is why Reformation theologian Rod Rosenblatt often says, Christianity is not about your transformation. I know that's shocking. It's not first and foremost about making you a better person. In fact, it's not about you at all. It's about Jesus and what he has done for you. In our gospel lesson, John 6, verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." In other words, eternal life is not something you produce. Instead, salvation is something God gives to you, even though you're undeserving. God requires your repentance. Your repentance is inadequate. So Christ repents for you. God requires your faith. You can't produce faith. So God gives you the faith you need. God requires moral perfection. You fall dismally short. So God imputes to you the perfect righteousness of Christ. You know, when Elijah lay on the desert sand under a tree, starving and dying of thirst, depressed and suicidal, God intervened by sending an angel to sustain Elijah's life here on earth. For us who cling to Christ, he sent his own Son, who sustains our lives forever. You know, I mentioned that song that I love, that the people at Peace Lutheran didn't. Lo, he comes in clouds descending. And I mentioned that second verse that some people find depressing. I'm going to read it again really quickly. Every eye shall now behold him, robed in glorious majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, shall their true Messiah see. As I mentioned, this describes Jesus returning on the last day. Those who sat at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree, that doesn't just refer to those disciples who betrayed Jesus, like Judas or Peter, who denied him three times, denied that he even knew him. It doesn't just refer to the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross. It refers to you and me who disregard, disobey, and deny him every single day. And the lyric, deeply wailing, that's us on the last day, crying out, not for fear of retribution, not for fear of punishment, but crying out for joy. Because the very one that we set at naught and sold him, the very one that we pierced and nailed to a tree, he's the one who's coming down to save you, despite what you've done or what you struggle with today, despite your wavering faith, despite your negative emotions and your shameful thoughts, despite all of it, he's your Messiah coming to save you and take you to heaven with him. He's the bread of life coming to give you what you need. And I hate to differ with my friends at Peace Lutheran, but that's not depressing. It's wonderful beyond words. It's life and peace and joy. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great compassion toward us who have disregarded and disobeyed you and continue to. Lord, fill us with gratitude for what you have done for us. And fill us with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.